You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today, we're in a weird kind of two-day break in between Wolves games. Have a couple of things I want to cover. First of all, the Ricky Rubio post-game comments following Sunday's ugly loss to the Phoenix Suns, of course, his former team. So I want to kind of, you know, read a couple of the quotes from his post-game comments and give my take on them and what I think. I mean, it's pretty clear what he's saying, but just kind of, you know, try and parse those comments a little bit. And then I want to get a little bit in the weeds on Karl Anthony Towns as a post player this year and what he's been able to do and kind of looking through what this Wolves offense could look like. And again, we spent a lot of time talking about this Chris Finch offense, but we're not seeing it with no Malik Beasley. We're not seeing it with no D'Angelo Russell. But what could Cat in the post mean once he's got some legitimate NBA caliber shooters around him based on how successful he's been as, you know, with his post touches throughout his career, really, but, you know, specifically this year as well. So that'll be most of the show today. We'll take a peek ahead at what's upcoming for the Wolves and the first part of the second half schedule. And then later in the week here on Wednesday show, of course, we'll preview the Wednesday night game, Wolves Hornets. We'll get to see LaMelo Ball again, which will be fun. And then the rest of the week, we're looking ahead to All-Star Sunday. So that's what we have on tap for you for the week. Before we get to today's show, though, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. Of course, that includes iTunes as well as Google Podcasts, Stitcher. You can follow on Spotify. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And at B Beacon. It's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Ricky Rubio post-game comments. This was Sunday night, of course, after the game against the Suns. This is, you know, this is posting now Tuesday morning, but I think these comments are still relevant to talk through. So Rubio talked a little bit about the Philadelphia 76ers and trusting the process and the 2 to 3 years of losing before they won. And he was suggesting in his comments, or he did say that there was, he called it evidence that losing and then winning can work, that you can build a winning culture without winning in the first place, which is obviously really difficult to do. And so Ricky's acknowledging that and saying that they have bad habits. And then he went on to talk about how they haven't built good habits from day one, which is interesting. I think, you know, there's a lot of reading between the lines with Rubio with that, you know, he knows he's on his way out, et cetera. I think there's certainly some truth to, there's not a future for him in Minnesota into next season, whether it's the trade deadline this year or over the summer he gets moved. But with no Ryan Saunders, the path to him being moved is that much clearer. Now, we know Gerson Rosas tried to acquire Rubio as a free agent at the same summer that he went after D'Angelo Russell, summer of 2019, before Rubio signed with the Suns for what everyone is a little surprised at, the, you know, it was over $50 million over 3 years for Ricky and before the Wolves even got a chance to make their pitch to him. So, you know, Rosas wanted Rubio. It wasn't just Ryan Saunders, but obviously Rubio and Saunders had that connection. They, you know, Saunders was on the staff when Rubio was on the Wolves staff. They both lost a parent within a couple of years of each other. And they've got this close connection, and Ricky was obviously excited to play for Saunders. So all that's true. But I mean, Saunders was also the coach when Rubio says from day one, he means training camp, albeit an abbreviated training camp in preseason, but he's talking about when Saunders was coach. So it's not like the shade he's throwing is at least partially directed at Gerson Rosas, but he's acknowledging that even from the start of the season, they weren't building good habits is what he said. He said, I don't think we're doing that, meaning building good habits. Talks about having the worst record in the league. He says they've lost way too many games by 20 plus points. I believe that's up to 14 games, which is a league high. They've also lost the most fourth quarter leads of any team in the league as well. So it's the 20 point per, you know, the most games that you've been down by 20 points, excuse me, not lost by 20 points, most games that they've played that they've trailed by 20 or more points in, which is now 14. It's a little bit of a misleading stat in the sense that if so many of those were right away when Cat went out, I think there were 4 out of 5 games that were down by 30 or more points, which is still crazy and should never happen. And then also the fact that they're not losing by 20 plus every night means that they're having these late comebacks after this mid-game swoons. And I mean, I guess no matter really how you slice it, it's, you know, you can't be trailing by 20 or more points in almost half of your game or over a third of your games to this point in the season. It's obviously that it points to a lot of things going wrong. So Rubio mentions that, talking about losing too many games by 20 plus. And just again, the stat that I'm citing is that they've trailed by 20 or more in 14 games so far this season, which I think is tied with Cleveland or right around that. Darren Wolfson had tweeted about it the other day when they were tied with Cleveland at 13, but then the Wolves trailed by 20 plus for a period of time in the fourth quarter against Phoenix on Sunday. And then Rubio says, this is a quote that's getting the most play, and rightfully so. He says, quote, "I don't feel like this is building something." He's not wrong. I mean, you're the worst team in the league. You've trailed by 20 or more than any other team in the league. And, you know, fired the coach midseason. You know, you've got a player who's now suspended 12 games. You've got both of your stars have, again, played just three games together so far this year. Five times in the last calendar year, your two max contract players. It's fair to say it doesn't feel like this team is building something. And I don't think Rubio's not specifically calling anybody out. There's been some chatter, you know, it's Carl Anthony Towns, it's Gerson Rosas. It's not that. He's just speaking generally about the situation the team's in. And I've talked about the blame game on this podcast before. And we can sit here and assign percentages of blame to, at the time when I went through this whole thing a few weeks ago, is Ryan Saunders versus Gerson Rosas versus, you know, the players themselves. I mean, everybody shares some blame, and Ricky himself does too. And part of that, you know, Ricky's not going to be as effective with a team of non-shooters. And he's, I mean, what point guard would be? He's not going to be as effective with a team of, you know, a team with not enough actual team defenders. Ricky's going to be a much better player on a team that has more of a veteran roster, that has players that fit what he does. Like, I don't know, pick almost any contender. I mean, look what he did in Phoenix last year. Look what he did. He was good in Utah. They obviously wanted to upgrade that position with the Jazz, and they have. I mean, Mike Conley's fantastic. And Donovan Mitchell operating with the ball in his hands more, you know. So, but Rubio fits on that playoff type team with veterans, and Ricky's in part to blame. He talked about shot selection. His shot selection isn't great at times, which is weird for such a smart player, but that's true. And he's had some crunch time issues this year. He's not blameless in this, but that doesn't mean he can't point out that as an organization, it doesn't feel like they're building something. It doesn't mean he doesn't have that license. And well, he's certainly partly to blame. Obviously, Carl Anthony Towns, they're 1-10 since he's come back from injury. Malik Beasley missing 12 games now with a suspension. D'Angelo Russell now out, still another 3 to 4 to 5 weeks with his knee surgery. Injuries are partly to blame. The coaching is certainly to blame. The roster construction is in part to blame with no real NBA caliber four to start the season and no cap space. So what happens next? And I think that's kind of where Rubio is going with this, is like, hey, you know, what's the next steps for this organization? And it's fair to wonder. I mean, obviously the at this point, and now I'm getting really macro in this, looking at this, but you know, your best case scenario is the Timberwolves hang on to their pick, the balls bounce their way, they get a top three pick again, they take, well, not really prepared to say who they should take at this point, but say they take Cade Cunningham, or, you know, anybody they're going to take in the top three in this draft is going to be fantastic. And, you know, they hang on to the pick, you get a healthy Towns, assume you still have D'Angelo Russell, you trade Rubio and his salary, you make a little bit of space, pull something off in this offseason to get another starting caliber player, rotation caliber player, and you've got your starting lineup of this year's, you know, top three pick, or the 2021 top three pick, Anthony Edwards, last year's number one overall pick, probably Russell, Carl Anthony Towns, and a fifth player. And obviously that's a really talented team, and there's a huge upside to that roster. And you hope you're healthy. You hope that you find some more guys who can contribute on minimum contracts, or you know, these diamonds in a rough, which at this point, by the way, we're talking about all these diamonds in a rough, meaning Jordan McLaughlin, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel. These guys are getting run and they're losing games. And part of that's due to they're just really young, and that happens. But there's other teams that have young players in the rotation. There's plenty of playoff teams that have rookies playing in the rotation for them, and are winning, or at least aren't losing to the extent that the Wolves are. So at some point, we got a question, are these really diamonds in a rough, or did Rosas find more replacement level talent and pay them replacement level contracts? I'm not willing to have that conversation yet because I think the jury is still out. You got to see some of these players play with other NBA caliber players before we can definitively make those statements. But I mean, what happens next? You have to succeed on some of the fringe moves, which is to this point, the only stuff that it's really clear that Rosas has really hit on. You know, Jarrett Culver, terrible year so far. Josh Okogie, terrible year so far. Hernan Gomez looks like a massive overpay. You know, we can go player by player and eventually we'll do that. I still think it's a little too early to draw true conclusions when we haven't seen this roster on the floor together. But it doesn't change the fact that this team has by far the worst record in the league. And we can't gloss over that. Okay. Next, what I want to do is talk about Karl-Anthony, shift gears entirely and talk less macro and more, you know, drill all the way down and talk a little bit about the Wolves offense, which we've done a lot of recently. But I want to talk specifically about Towns in the post because his post touches are going back up. They were with Saunders this year, even before Finch took over. So I want to dive into that here in a minute. First, though, let's talk about our friends at Theragun. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design make you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. The Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now. Get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon. Hey, let's also talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning to wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, I'll say it again. The prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, today on the Locked On Today podcast, with players fleeing the Houston Texans, what NFL team will be the worst to play for in 2021? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast with Peter Bukowski. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's jump into the conversation about the offense. I did see a note. I was going to call it a fun note. I don't know how fun this really is, but an interesting note by Alan Horton, of course, the original host, I believe, of Locked On Wolves, and the current voice and longtime voice of the Timberwolves on the radio. Alan Horton tweeted out, this was, I believe, Monday morning. He tweeted, Chris Finch's first week, 8 days on the job, 4 games played in 4 cities, 1 practice, 1 shoot-around, 1 walkthrough. That's a crazy first week. no other excuses needed, really. I mean, you know, throw in the Malik Beasley suspension in the middle of it. Beasley's played in two of the four games. And throw in the fact D'Lo hasn't suited up at all. Jarrett Culver was reintegrated this weekend and hasn't been good. It's been an insane first week for Finch. And one of the things, segueing into talking about the offense, one of the things that the Wolves are starting to do more of, and they did more of this year, progressively, really, as the year went on, with Ryan Saunders at the helm, is post-touches for Karl Anthony Towns. Last year, Towns averaged 4.7 post-touches per game. Now, he only played in 35 games, you know, roughly half of half of what this season is going to be, less than half of an actual, of a normal NBA season. He had averaged 4.7 post-touches a game, and a little over 20% of his possessions were spent posting up. This year, that's 4.4 possessions per game and roughly the same frequency. So the number's basically been the same over the past 2 years for Towns. Go back a couple of years, and that's up even more. You know, this is back. This was the year Tibbs was fired and Saunders came on. 30% of his possessions were post-ups. That's 6.8 possessions per game. Go back 1 year further, which was the Tibbs Butler year that they went to the playoffs. And Towns only averaged 4.1 post-ups per game. 22.5% of his possessions were in post-ups. So his biggest year for post-ups, going back four seasons now, was the year split between Tibbs and Ryan Saunders. We're now back to a level that's you know, in that a little more than four possessions per game, but more than what he did in the playoff season, which is a little bit surprising. He's basically been top 10 throughout his career in terms of points per possession on post-touches. The Butler year, he was actually fourth in the league in points per possession, 86th percentile in terms of what he was able to do in the post. This year, he's actually third in the league, 1.05 points per possession in post touches, 73rd percentile, trailing only Kawhi Leonard, who's at a crazy 1.21 points per possession in the post, and Joel Embiid, who's at 1.09. Towns is at 1.05. And Embiid has 9.1 possessions per game in the post. That's 35% of his possessions. Embiid is getting post touches. So Towns is ahead of the likes of LeBron, Kristaps Porzingis, Anthony Davis, Giannis, Jokic, Pascal Siakam, Zion Williamson, you know, Julius Randle, Vucevic. Literally anybody except for Kawhi and Embiid, and Towns is ahead of them in points per possession in the post. He's always been really good in the post. The question has been, is low post play efficient? And generally speaking, no, but there's always market inefficiencies, right? And if you have one of the league's best at something and you know, they're on your roster, then you play to their strengths. And because Towns is a fantastic post player and he's also a really good passer, empowering him and putting him in the post makes a ton of sense. The problem the Wolves are running into now, and I talked about this a little bit on Monday's show, the postgame pod from the Phoenix loss, is that he's not surrounded by shooters. So he's kicking to Ricky Rubio and Josh Okogie, who are career 30% or worse three-point shooters, instead of a healthy Malik Beasley, a healthy D'Angelo Russell, I don't know, any other league average or better shooter, right? I mean, he's kicking to guys who can't shoot. And sometimes his best option is to take on a double team and see what happens. And then also a small tangent here, but Towns got, you know, we saw frustrated Towns for the first time in a while, like truly frustrated Towns in Sunday's game against the Suns. He wasn't getting foul calls. He had some frustration fouls that he committed. Actually, we saw this in Washington too on Saturday a little bit. Look at these other players, and this is, again, just post touches. This isn't overall free throw rate, but in terms of post touches, free throw frequency, look at the top 10. The only players Towns is ahead of in free throw frequency are Anthony Davis, which was surprising to me, and Pascal Siakam. Everybody else in the top 10, and actually this is the top 11 going down to Zion Williamson, it has a free throw percentage or free throw frequency of a higher rate than Karl Anthony Towns on post touches, shooting foul frequency, same thing. Towns does not draw fouls. And part of that's if he's avoiding contact, you know, there's certainly some of that the burden falls on the offensive player to try and put yourself in a position to draw fouls. But I don't know that Towns is necessarily shying away from contact in the post. I mean, he's going right at the rim and not getting calls pretty frequently. He doesn't shoot a ton of fadeaway jumpers in the post either, because that would be another reason. And I suppose Davis does a little bit of that. And that would be a reason for drawing less fouls, is if you're shooting the KG turnaround jumpers. Towns doesn't do a ton of that. He does some of the Dirk one-legged fadeaway type shots, but not a lot, you know, every couple games. So that's my side point here, that he should be getting called for more, or he should be getting to the free throw line more often. And that would, you know, buoy that points per possession even more for Towns. But the moral of the story here is the Wolves are getting back to going into the post a little bit more often to Towns. It fits with Finch's offense. And, you know, whether that's in the high post or the low post, I think giving him the ability to orchestrate this offense makes a ton of sense. And he's one of the top five, and as of this year, one of the top three post players in the game in terms of points per possession. So what it appears that Finch is going to try and do makes a lot of sense. One other note, as long as we're talking about Towns, the Wolves are going to run a little less pick and roll under Finch. He basically said that in his introductory presser last Monday, but that's been true outside of some stretches here and there. And he talked about sprinkling it in. Obviously, you have to run some, but Towns remains number six in the NBA in points per possession as the role man, which is great. I mean, he's behind Jared Allen, Rajon Holmes, Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, and Nikola Jokic. He's only 0.01 points per possession behind Jokic. This is among players who were the role man on at least three possessions per game this year, and Towns actually barely clears that threshold. Just under 15% of possessions, he's the role man. And actually, Towns is only 0.01 ahead of Naz Reid. So Reid is actually seventh in the league in terms of points per possession as a roller, as the big setting the screen. So, you know, that's not a surprise. I mean, Towns has always been good in that scenario, and there's a reason the Wolves run a ton of pick and rolls, because of Towns' ability to pop outside the arc, his ability to do really anything with the ball in his hands. And you go back 2 years when he was healthy, he was number seven in the league in points per possession as the role man. You go back the year further, again, Jimmy Butler's year, number six in the league in points per possession as the role man, 1.16 points per possession. So he's always been really top six in the league in terms of points per possession there, top five in the league in points per possession in the post. There's a reason Towns is thought of as one of the best players in the league, one of the top 20 players, and easily one of the best offensive centers, or big men, I should say, in the league. Now, the question is, can they find enough talent around him to unlock the passing piece of this? And if he's willing and able to pass to open shooters who then make shots, this team suddenly looks a lot better, and we're not starting to hear about how the Wolves are 1-10 with Towns since he returned, and the defense has been worse, and the offense isn't any better. And I don't know. I feel like missing Malik Beasley and having a coaching change in the middle of the stretch probably have affected the results a little bit. And you know, I'm not at the point of blaming Karl-Anthony Towns for any significant issues that the Wolves have had recently. Again, as I said earlier, he deserves. Everybody is culpable, right? When this team is 1-10 since Towns returned, they've lost seven in a row. They're the worst team in the league. They're, 7-27. Everybody deserves a share of the blame. But Karl-Anthony Towns remains one of the league's best players and one of the best big men and one of the best offensive big men in history, best shooting big men in history. So only so much of this blame can rest on his shoulders. Okay, I want to close by talking just a little bit about the upcoming schedule and the second half for the Wolves. First, though, let's talk about our fantastic friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's 50% as a welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow. And as a Wolves fan, you need to know them because it's really looking like the Wolves are going to be back in the lottery and have a shot. They'll need to get one of the top three picks in order to keep their first round pick this year. If you want to know more about the NBA draft, you need to subscribe to the brand new Locked On NBA Draft podcast, prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Okay, so the Wolves have Charlotte on Wednesday. It's the last game in the first half of the season for the Wolves. They just recently received their second half schedule. So Charlotte is Wednesday. The Wolves currently sit at 7-28 and have a lot of work to do to climb out of the cellar. The last time they played Charlotte, and we'll get more into this on Wednesday, they lost by six. That was a fun game at Charlotte. Beasley and Towns, of course, both played. That was right before they beat Toronto. So just a couple of weeks ago, right before Valentine's Day. So we'll get to see LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards go at it again. To this point, it's pretty clear LaMelo Ball is going to be the rookie of the year. The Wolves should have drafted LaMelo Ball. I love Anthony Edwards, but man, LaMelo Ball's already fantastic. So that'll be Wednesday. And then All-Star Sunday, all the festivities this year happening on Sunday, of course. So the Wolves will get an 8-day break before they go to New Orleans on Thursday the 11th. And the next few weeks are brutal. It's basically all Western Conference teams. It is actually all Western Conference teams. They don't play another East team until March 29th. So coming out of the All-Star break, the Wolves have 10 consecutive games against Western Conference opponents at New Orleans, two consecutive games back-to-back at home with Portland, then at the Lakers, at the Suns twice, back-to-back games in Phoenix on back-to-back nights, then Oklahoma City, Dallas, and then Houston twice at home. So the Wolves, in their first 10 games after the break, they've got three different sets of back-to-backs against the same team, both in the same location. So a home back-to-back against Portland, a road back-to-back in Phoenix, and then a home back-to-back at home against the Rockets. So it's really tough. Outside of those Rockets games, and I guess you could say the Thunder game, none of these games are going to be are likely wins for the Timberwolves. They're certainly not games the Wolves will be favored in. D'Angelo Russell probably doesn't return until, you know, at earliest the last week of March, which is also about when Beasley will come back. It's actually, I believe, that game at Brooklyn, which is game 11 out of the break, would be the first game that Malik Beasley would be eligible. I suppose maybe the 27th against Houston would be the first game. So the final game of that four-game homestand, Saturday, March 27th against Houston, would be the first game Malik Beasley could play in. Perhaps, you know, that's right in that range of when D'Angelo Russell could be back. And then maybe we'll get, you know, a month, 6 weeks or so, hopefully, of Beasley, Russell, Towns all playing together. The Wolves can get a sense for what they have. You know, this is a group that's still played together three times this year. Beasley, Russell, Towns, add in Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup. That hasn't happened really because remember, he wasn't starting at the beginning of the year. And this is a Wolves team that started 2-0. I'll remind you again, they won at Utah. They beat the best team in the league record wise with this healthy team prior to Towns' wrist injury. And of course, everything snowballed from there. So yeah, it's a difficult schedule coming out of the break, especially without the team being at full strength. But you start looking at late March, and there is an opportunity with those games against, they have two against Houston and then Brooklyn, the Knicks, the Grizzlies. So that's five consecutive games. If you can go, you know, you get some of those guys back. Those are winnable games. You know, they have the Timberwolves, a healthy Timberwolves team with Towns, Beasley, Russell will have every opportunity to win those games at home against Houston and the Knicks and at Brooklyn and at Memphis. So, I mean, there should be some exciting basketball still over the course of the rest of the season. I should also mention that the trade deadline is March 25th, which is right before the Malik Beasley's return. So Malik Beasley won't return until right after the trade deadline. D'Angelo Russell probably won't return until right around the trade deadline. So the deadline's right before those two games against Houston and right after this difficult stretch. It's not crazy to think that the Wolves could come out of the break and go 1-9, 2-8, hopefully not 0-10, but that's a tough stretch. And they could easily, I mean, they're already right now, I think, have a three-game gap between themselves and the Pistons for the league's worst record. That could change. I mean, that could continue to grow after the break with the Wolves missing their second and third best players. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously, trade deadline rumors are going to pick up now that we're in March. Touched on it a little bit a couple of weeks ago related to John Collins and some of the other rumors out there. I'm sure we'll start hearing about interest in Ricky Rubio. I'm sure we'll start hearing about potential suitors for some of the other guys, you know, whether that's Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie. Playoff teams looking for a boost in terms of their perimeter defense. I mean, those are all players who could be traded, and we'll get much deeper into that as we draw closer to the deadline, which is now just a little over 3 weeks away, believe it or not. So, all right, we'll be back on Wednesday with a preview show for Wolves Hornets on Wednesday night and talk about any other news that comes up prior to that. And then we'll finish out the week by Thursday show will be a postgame pod from Wednesday against the Hornets. And then we'll have a Friday show as well. If you're new to the show, this is a daily show Monday through Friday with postgame pods on the weekends as well. Be sure that you're subscribed anywhere you get podcasts. If you listen on iTunes, go ahead and help us out with a positive review there. Definitely helps get us in front of more folks. More eyes and ears is always a good thing. Also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. It's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. And then my account is at BBeacon. It's BBeacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.